This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, thank you so much, Parker, and welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. Today's guest hails from Port Gibson, Mississippi, and is a self-proclaimed small-town girl with big dreams, determination, and profound talent. She grew up in a traditional blue-collar home, listening to mainly the blues, R&B, gospel, and soul music, often while her dad fumbled around under the hood of his old Chevy Impala, and she also sang in the church choir. Inspired by the likes of Coco Taylor, Denise LaSalle, Benny Lattimore, Bobby Rush, and the other Bobby, Bobby Blue Bland, rumor has it that her motivation was to develop that deep sound of Coco Taylor. Now, if you haven't had an opportunity to check out this woman of the blues yet, may I humbly suggest you do so soon. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome singer, songwriter, published author, entertainer, radio personality, and, oh yeah, mother of two daughters, the Duchess of the Blues, Ms. Jerisa McBride. Come on in here, girl, and thank you so much for joining me on Time Signatures. How are you?
Yes, thank you. I am doing very, very well and so glad to be here. So glad to have the opportunity to actually be in the studio. So I'm excited today.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's get at it. We've got a lot to talk about here, but I would like to begin with your start in music. Now, I know you, I teased some of this in the introduction, but where did it all start for you?
Well, like I said before, I've been singing since I was a little girl, but professionally, it started for me in 2011. Okay. I entered this contest that was in Jackson, Mississippi. It was like I think it was between 6 or 8 weeks, called the Face the Music Contest. And I ended up winning that particular contest. And I tell you, just the energy that I developed being on the stage, I just knew that was that was my route, that was my dream and my passion. And so I decided to continue professionally from then on. So I ventured out, started connecting with different people and getting myself on shows. And, you know, my mom, she's my manager. And we just became this duo that was trying to get in every door we could get in.
Sure.
You know, and we did. So I'm glad that I took that, you know, extra leap of faith and said, hey, go for what you really want to do, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, from the sounds of it, you really did enjoy an eclectic blend of music growing up, much as I did. How did that mix of music lend itself to your development as a singer and songwriter?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, when I was listening to music, like I said, I listened to all types of music growing up. But the very first song I ever wrote was about my dog, Spike.
So, okay.
I love that Cocker Spaniel to death. And when he passed, I wrote a song called I Really Miss Spike. And it was off R. Kelly's song. What was it? I Really Miss My Mama, except for it was a cover. It was a cover as well.
Okay.
But I ended up writing a song to that. And just from there, I eventually started writing poetry, and then I was turning some of those poems into songs, and I was like, I really love this, but I could sing too, but I enjoyed, you know, doing the writing. And eventually, like in my career, I attempted to write for people, but I found it best, you know, pretty much writing for myself.
Now, what about those times around your father as he was working on the car, man? Was he supportive of your early music dabbling? And what do you remember most about those moments with him while he was working on it?
Yeah, so I always tell people, and we laugh about it now, I was like, even if there was nothing wrong with the car, like, Daddy always found a reason to get under the hood on a Saturday morning. And we would be outside just playing, and my sister and my brother and I, we would like to go into my dad's car and see what he had left in his lunchbox from work. And that's when I would really get a chance to hear the music. And there so one particular day, he was working on his car and I was looking through his different tapes. He had some cassette tapes and stuff. And that's when I first saw Coco Taylor. Now I would hear Denise LaSalle, Lattimore, Johnny Taylor, Tyrone Davis, all of these different people. But it was something about Coco Taylor that caught my eye. And it was the cassette tape. I don't remember the name of the album, but she had like this big fro on there. And it was, I think that was the one that had Wayne Dang Dude. But I was like, how somebody that small has a voice that deep?
Now, we talked a little bit about the contest that you were involved in, the Face the Music tournament, which you ultimately won. Was this really the point when you determined that a life in music was in the cards for you?
No, because even when I was in school and I was writing songs, Irvin, when I tell you, I knew music was going to be in my future because I tried everything. I tried rapping. I tried everything.
Okay.
But I, you know, even with some of us getting together between lunch breaks and singing in the hallways or singing, meeting up to sing our favorite R&B songs in the restroom, like we just knew, I knew that was something that I could see myself doing pretty much for the rest of my life because I found a love and a joy when I was doing it.
I'm going to turn the page here a little bit. Your 2021 compilation album, The Soul of a Southern Girl, was kind of like your coming out moment, if you will. And you released this album with some of your fans' favorite songs on it. How was this initial release received in the music community around your area?
I feel like that was the best thing I could have done. And I'm going to tell you why. When I first came out, the very first album was entitled I'm a Woman. And it had some of those songs on there, but a lot of those songs, they hadn't been heard, but some of the ones that I constantly kept hearing, you know, people talk about, I was like, you know what, maybe I should do a compilation album and put it back out there and see what happens. Now on that particular, album, I'm a Woman. Mm-hmm. And the Personal Love Vendetta album, I pulled from both of those albums to do The Soul of a Southern Girl. And like I said, that was the best thing I could have done because Karma, the song Karma that I have, is still, you know, the numbers are still growing on YouTube. But that was after the re-release of it. And it just started going viral and people started following me and subscribing to my YouTube page. And most of those royalties was coming from that album. I was like, wow, this is the best thing I could have done because a lot of people hadn't heard some of those songs that were just floating out there.
Now, as I was preparing for this interview last evening, I did what I always do. I kind of get lost in the music as I'm doing this. And it's usually the music of the person I'm going to be interviewing. And I was getting lost in My Time to Shine, featuring Grammy Award winning guitarist and producer Paul Nelson. And I got to tell you, man, I really enjoyed this album from start to finish. Truly some great blues. There's some soul, R&B, and yes, a bit of gospel influence in there as well. But talk about your ability to blend these various music styles into one album like that, because it really did have a good flow to it.
When Paul and I did that particular album, we ended up being on the same ticket in Florida. When we performed, trying to think, that was maybe almost 4 years ago.
Okay.
And Paul Benjamin had us on the same ticket the same night to perform. And Paul Nelson heard me perform and he sent word that he wanted to do a project with me. And I was like, oh wow. Okay. Like that's huge. And I was already in the midst of wanting to do another project. And so We kind of communicated about how we were going to do it. So he was like, okay, I'm going to fly down and this is what we're going to do. So Paul came down. I think it was maybe around June. But he came down for a week and we did that project. We actually recorded everything in 3 days. But we sat down the first night that he came in from the airport. We sat down and talked about each song on the project and how we were going to do it. So he heard each individual song, all of the original songs that I had written, and then the covers that I had on there, which I had three covers on that particular album.
Okay.
We decided to change them in a way where they just totally sound different. Even when you listen to Wayne Dang Dude on there, it's more like a jazz, almost like a jazz kind of feel, far away from just the original. So it has a like jazz feel to it. But I was very happy because I was like, wow, finally someone that gets what I'm looking for, you know. So we were able to blend all of that in because he sat down and listened to what I was trying to accomplish with that album and the sound that I needed. And so when all of the musicians got together in the studio, everybody just worked together so good, like we had been working together for years.
I have to tell you, when I heard Wang Dang Doodle last night, it was not just another cover to me. In fact, I found myself mesmerized by the flow of the song. Clearly, you intended to present it in your own special way, as you just described. Well done. I mean, not everybody can pull off a cover like that, especially for something as well recognized as Wang Dang Doodle.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anything else musically in the works for you currently?
Yes, my plan is to actually go into the studio this year. I've been writing.
Okay.
I have songs lined up that I am ready to record. So hopefully I will be doing that very soon.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that and looking forward to putting some new music out there. So
fantastic. Now, you've shared the stage with some incredible talent in your short career, including Lattimore, Mr. Sip, the late Ms. Carol Fran, a.k.a. the Swamp Queen, Major Handy, and many others. Talk about these experiences, and are there any in particular that stand out in your mind as some of your great memories, if you will?
I would like to say one of my greatest memories would be with Carol Fran. You know, we just end up having this type of relationship. The very first time we met, it was for a lupus event that they were having in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Okay.
And that is where the whole event was just really nice. But that was my first time meeting her. And it's like we connected because we were supposed to do this parade. We were all in the parade riding on this particular float. And that was the day before the lupus event. And so I got ready to get off the float, and she say, "Duchess, I sure like those shoes that you have on." And I said, "Well, what size shoes do you wear?" And she told me her size shoes, and I say, "Well, here you go." And she said, "Wait, you really gonna give me your shoes?" I say, "Yes, ma'am." I say, "If a legend want my shoes, she can have them." So I gave her my shoes. I had some flip-flops with me. I gave her my shoes. And from then on, it was like we were just connected.
Duchess, have you ever been there on the side of the stage, maybe after you did your piece, and just watch some of these folks that have been doing it for so many years and just kind of have a pinch me moment? Has that ever happened to you?
And I'm mesmerized because I'm just like, wow, God puts me in the room with these type of legends that I grew up listening to and having the opportunity to see them in action is a blessing. It's truly a blessing. And not only that, I haven't ran into many of them that's not willing to, that was not willing to say, "Hey, this is what you need to do," or "you just keep doing that," or, you know, so I've always just to sit back and watch them do, I'm like, okay, so this is where the longevity comes in at. And even when I sat down, I would talk on the phone with Denise LaSalle. We had built a relationship with each other as well. And she would tell me, she say, "Don't be afraid to go out there and sing at some of those open mics and jig joints and stuff." She say, "Now, don't let them jig joint you to death." She say, "But you have to get out there, because a lot of people they don't get their time to shine, so to speak, until they've been out there for a while. And when I think sure. about the moves that I've made just in 15 years compared to someone that has been out there longer than I have, it's truly a blessing to be able to, you know, have had those opportunities at the time in which I did.
Speaking of some big name performers, I caught Anika Chambers Delaurier's Black Blues Herstory post about you the other day. She called you, quote, a modern blues royal whose voice carries strength, confidence, and soul. How does that feel, knowing that you've earned the respect of so many others in the industry already?
It feels good. And it feels surreal at times, you know, because sometimes I still see myself as that person that's trying to make it. And then quickly other people remind me, girl, no, you way past that. Listen, you know, so I just find it to be very amazing. But I also, I like to stay humble about it because I feel like that's what keeps me going in the direction that, you know, that I'm going in. But it also lets me know that, okay, people are paying attention to you.
Yeah, I've been liking and loving as many of these as I, you know, am able to catch. But she put a boatload of them up there, man.
50. It's over 50.
Is it over 50?
I started writing them down.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just noticed a recent post on your page. It caught my attention last evening because I've wanted to have you on the show anyway, okay? But I have to be honest, broadcasters have a special place in my heart, okay? I'm a former longtime broadcaster myself in a former life. But how did you initially get involved in that field?
This was about 13 years ago, right?
Okay. So this is before you got into music.
Okay, so I've been doing music for going on 15. So it was like afterwards.
Okay.
And I'll never forget Gamel Moore, who was the owner of WMEL Radio. I made a mistake and put my number on YouTube instead of my manager's number on YouTube, right?
Okay.
So I get a call one day, and it's this guy on the phone, which is Gamel, and he's telling me, you know, hey, I just started this new radio station, and I would love for you to be the one to do the blues and Southern Soul episodes of the show. I heard your voice. I love your voice. He would call me Country Bunkin. And he said all of that. And I said to him, I say, well, how did you get my number? He said, it was on YouTube. So I was like, YouTube? And I hurried up and went to YouTube. And I say, oh my God, I made a mistake and put my own number on there. So then, long story short, so we started the show, the Dutch of Soul Sessions. We set up and thought about, okay, how are we going to do this? However, now, originally, when we started with the show, the Dutch of Soul Sessions, I would have people on every week to interview.
Oh, nice.
So it started being like a little overwhelming. Now, I did that for about 6 years.
Wow.
And then I told him, I say, I don't think I can keep doing the interviews like I was doing because, you know, by then I was doing a lot of moving too. So I was like, I don't think I can keep doing all the interviews, but I'll continue to do the show and just play the music.
Okay.
And so I decided to keep doing that. Well, my purpose for getting into radio, I was like, okay, if I get into radio, I can push myself as an artist because then I can push my music as well, you know.
Right, sure.
And in the midst of that, help other artists because I know how it feels to be an independent artist that needs their music moved. I was to the point where I was interviewing people like Denise LaSalle, Trudy Lynn, Lattimore, Theotis Ely, like these big names, you know, in these areas. I was like, okay, this was good, but you know, I had to end up cutting it short because my time was, you know, I didn't have enough time to actually sit down and do those interviews the way that I was doing it.
it's cool to me that your show has evolved into something that you actually have to grow outside of to keep it going. And I know you've got big news to share, because as we are recording this tonight, you are about to launch a brand new program called Blues Talk, right?
So with Blues Talk, it's going to be an extension of the Dutchess Soul Sessions. I play a lot of artists that I have connected with on social media, a lot of them out of the National Women a Blues group. But I also found out that a lot of these artists that I was connecting with, I didn't know them. Like, I had never heard of them. They had never heard of me. And I was like, you know what? I should do an extension to this where I interview some of these artists. So I limited myself for two times out the month. And I'm excited about actually doing it, because then the fans get a chance to see some of their favorite artists, or they get a chance to discover people that they have not seen before.
Here we are. The most important question of the interview: where can we send people to learn more about you, maybe pick up some copies of your albums or merch, or book you for a gig?
Okay. Well, all of my booking information, they can call me direct. I can give my number. They can call me direct and 601-218-9418. They can inbox me on Facebook, email me at, JM Soul Sessions, or at JerissaMcBride.1@gmail.com. I also have a website, which is Dutchess Jerissa Music. I got so much of it. I can get all from it up, but it's www.DutchessJerissaMusic.com. That has everything that you need to know: contact, EPKs, where we're going to be next, latest interviews and latest videos of our performances, all of those things. It's just one click away on that website. And you guys can also follow me on social media at Jerissa McBride, or the Dutchess Jerissa McBride as well.
All right. And why don't you go ahead and put your information out about your radio show? Where is it? What radio station can they stream it online?
Okay, so with the radio station, with the Dutchess Soul Sessions, you can stream that online every Saturday at 12 noon. That's 12 noon Central Time. And that is at www.wmel2012.com. And you can hear the Dutchess Soul Sessions every Saturday at noon Central Time.
And then don't forget go ahead.
Yeah, the Blues Talk, it will be live every second and fourth Thursday of the month, which was, in March, So you guys, if you haven't listened, make sure that you do. But we're excited about that. And that's going to broadcast on YouTube and Facebook. So you guys look out for that, too.
And plus, it's going to be on the radio station, too.
Not yet. It's not going to be actually on the radio station, but they'll be able to catch it on YouTube and Facebook.
Okay. All right. Very good. And we'll make sure to get the links up. As soon as you have a link for that, we'll put that up on the information section of this podcast episode. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Dutchess Jerissa McBride, I want to thank you so much for taking time to join me today on Time Signatures. I wish you all the best, and may I suggest you head north in the warmer months so folks up here in the state of Michigan and the Great Lakes region can get a taste of the Dutchess up here. Would you do that?
That's right. Y'all come get me. I would love it. But thank you so much for having me on Time Signatures. I've been excited about doing this interview for a while when we first talked about it. So thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor.
It is an honor to have you, and I'm sorry it took me a little while. I mean, as you can imagine, it's been busy. And speaking,
That's right.
You mentioned the National Women in Blues earlier, Michelle Seidman. Mm-hmm. I was complaining to her last season that I just don't have enough women coming on the show. And she sent me, I think, 14 or 15 names, emails, and phone numbers. I had another gentleman send me some women that he knew. And before you know it, now I have women everywhere. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to present the women in blues, because y'all have just as much a right to be here. And here's a little piece of history for the people that don't know it. The first recorded blues song was not by a guy. Mm-hmm. It was by a woman. It was by a woman. Mm-hmm. So think about that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I earned my honorary ovaries from the National Women in Blues, which you see hanging right here behind me. So damn it, I've earned them. And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, the Duchess, Jerisa McBride, but also to you. For without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues one story at a time is my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on CABS, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.